Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
As we mentioned, climate change will be on the agenda when President Obama visits Beijing. No international climate treaty is possible without the world's two biggest carbon polluters, who still have a world of differences to overcome. Orville Schell directs the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society in New York. And Mr. Schell, what can the president's trip do to put a larger climate change agreement within reach?
Well, one hopes that the U.S. and China could effect some sort of a new collaboration, but the United States does not have a lot of money to put on the table. And when China thinks of leadership from the United States, that's one of the things that is certainly on the table. We've had many memoranda of understanding, and what we're looking for here is the next sort of quantum leap in collaboration, a concrete project of some sort between the two countries aimed at ameliorating climate change.
So if we're lacking the cash to sweeten the deal, might sharing energy technology be a way to achieve that?
Well, I think China is very interested in sharing technology with the United States. And I think there are some arrangements where the government could insure risk.
What are we talking about there, insure risk?
Well, many American companies are extremely worried that if they allow their technology to transfer to China, that China will reverse engineer it and, in effect, steal it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there was a way for governments to insure that technology would not be stolen, and if it was, there would be some payback, this would facilitate things.
I guess the larger issue with technology sharing, though, is we're also technology competitors. I mean, most people in the U.S. look at China and think that's the competition here.
Well, this is true. And yet there are times, and you look at certain kinds of drugs that we make available that government insures lower costs for developing countries, for instance, in Africa. So it might behoove the two governments to find a way to actually buy or license certain kinds of technology that would be useful in both countries and, in effect, subsidize it so companies can make money and the technology at the same time can be tested and used. So if the U.S. can find a way to do some of its testing here and at the same time collaborate with China to do some there, that would be the best outcome. But it gets down to a question of who's got the resources to do it.
Your center recently published a paper on how we might share a technology on what's called carbon capture and storage. This is about ways to strip the CO2 from the emissions from primarily coal-fired power plants. What do you think is possible there?
Well, I think carbon capture and sequestration is the answer to the continued use of coal. Now, we did release a roadmap that sort of suggests how the Obama administration could cooperate immediately with China on this front. We are not saying this is the only area that begs cooperation, nor are we saying that it is the best area. We're saying it is one of a number of inevitable areas that we need to collaborate on. Energy efficiency would be another. Renewable energy would be a third. China, I think it's fair to say, is waiting for the United States to reassume a leadership role in this field. And whether we will be able to rise to the occasion remains to be seen.
What do we know about the conservation ethic in China in general? Is this an area where the Chinese public feels strongly, is motivated to act?
More and more, China and the Chinese populace at large are becoming aware of the consequences of kinds of environmental degradation that they are experiencing firsthand. In the last two or three years, I've seen a literally stunning sort of evolution of consciousness of the dangers of climate change in China. Now I think leaders really do begin to understand this has grave long-term consequences and rather serious short-term consequences, even for a country like China, to wit the melting of the glaciers in the Himalayas and the Karakoram, where every major river relying on these watersheds.
What's the likelihood of some kind of meaningful deal coming from the president's trip or Copenhagen or any other summit coming down the road?
Well, I'm not tremendously optimistic that the president's trip can actually move the mountain. And part of that reason is Congress, is that without the United States making some investment in a remedy and in collaboration with China, and that takes money, and I don't think Congress is about to do that, it's going to be very hard to do what needs to be done unless the U.S. and China get together. And unless we find a way to get together, especially around the question of coal, we will not find a remedy for climate change globally.
Orville Schell directs the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society in New York. Thanks very much.
A pleasure.
Just ahead, the old homestead that brought three generations together in verse. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.